Welcome to the Fellowship Live call on celebrating our resources and development. This call is presented by DA's Resources and Development Committee. Sorry, celebrating the wealth of our shared DA resources. The Resources and Development Inventory Mission Statement. Our mission statement is revenue for DA is the focus of the Resource Development Committee, including increasing Seventh Tradition contributions and clarifying the use of Seventh Tradition funds, encouraging member participation in service at all levels, and increasing awareness within DA Fellowship about the importance of self-support. My name is Geraldine and I'm a debtor from London in the United Kingdom. Our call today will include three speakers on the topic celebrating the wealth of our shared DA resources. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded and all speakers consent by their participation by having the recording uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts. On this call, in keeping with the traditions, please practice anonymity by using first names only and help us to keep the focus on the 12-step recovery program of Debtors Anonymous by leaving other affiliations, other philosophies, outside publications, religions, and other 12-step programs. After the speakers, we will stop recording the call for a sharing portion. Anyone wishing to share will have 3 minutes each. This part of the call is not being recorded. All callers have been placed on mute. Press star 6 to unmute only if you are participating in the call or during the sharing period. Each speaker will have 50 minutes and Kate will be the timekeeper. Our first speaker is Lorraine from the United Kingdom, who will share her experience, strength and hope in regard to celebrating the wealth of our shared resources for 50 minutes. Welcome, Lorraine, to the call. First, would you like any time?
Start with the serenity prayer. Oh, okay. 5 and 5, please.
Yeah, thank you. You may begin.
Can I ask that we start with a serenity prayer, please?
God. Sure, yes, God.
Grant us the serenity.
Grant us the serenity.
To accept the things we cannot change. The courage to change the things we can. And the wisdom to know the difference. I'm Lorraine, I'm a debtor. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I would talk about, when I do shares, I often mention how we have a set of tools that are laid in front of us, which are the foundations for me to, were the foundations for, to help me and continue to be, recover from compulsive debting. I've been in the program going 17 years. I've not been done anything in my life consistently for 17 years, even 7, I think. But I was so low down, rock bottom, that when I came in, I couldn't go out because I had to, day by day, month by month, year by year, keep cleaning up the wreckage of my past. After I'd been in a couple of years, I took the decision to not spend any money for 2 years over and above the absolute essentials. This was because I was £350,000 worth of debt. I had 2 properties. I was going to be a property mogul. Excuse me. But while I could duck and dive and scheme and get large mortgages, my property, one property was in London, another was up in the Midlands. Once I got them, I didn't know how to handle them, especially with the property in London, which was just a shell. It was a wreck. I had to get more money again, which I ducked and dived and schemed and got that because I could get it, but I just couldn't handle it. And I got Bodge the Builder. And to me, all of it was just my deepest feeling about myself, my deepest fears that I didn't deserve good things would come through with the people that with my behavior and also the people that I mixed with. So I'm going to get dodgy builders and we just need a bit more money. We just need a bit more money. Reneging on the deal that we had, doing dodgy jobs with the house, having to call them back, having to threaten them with the tax man to get basics done, and the house still wasn't ready. I wanted to, my idea was to rent out rooms, which was a great idea. I separated the bathroom. You know, I had some good ideas, but because the basics weren't in place, both in me and because of in me with the people that I work with, the house just couldn't be finished, and I couldn't get lodgers with the state that the house was in. Lodgers that would pay good enough money for me to pay a mortgage in London anyway. I had both properties when I came in to 12 Step, and both were being threatened with repossession. My other property up in the Midlands, I'd rented it to my nephew on mate's rates and auntie rates, not doing it as a business, and he stopped paying. And little did I know he'd been incarcerated up in Aberdeen, and there were just left other drug dealers in the house because I hadn't handled it as business. But I had a dirty attitude as well, and that was, if they're not giving me rent, I can't pay Santander, so Santander's going to have to, you know, lump it. And Santander were like, no, we won't lump it, you're going to lump it, you know, so they sent in the bailiffs. And it wasn't much for Santander, it actually was only about 3,000. Actually, but it still was much, because after about 3 months arrears, they can come in. The property in London, that was 1,400. 16 years ago, 1,400 was the rent, the mortgage, sorry. So I was working two jobs, and but still not being able to handle money. I worked 9 to 5 and 6 till 2, so I got the money. But because I was just in such a mess and couldn't handle it, I kept getting myself into further and further trouble. So one day I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me and answered me. He said, I heard what you'd call now a podcast. A woman was just talking on a recording, and she told someone to go to Debtors Anonymous, which I'd never heard of before. And this time I heard it, because I'd listened to that podcast 3 or 4 times and never heard that. Looked it up. There was a meeting the next morning in Notting Hill, turned up fur coat and no knickers. And they just didn't play with me. They told me, you've got to do this, get a PRG. You've got to keep your figures. You've got to keep coming back. You've got to. And, you know, these days people get upset. I don't like people telling me what to do. I needed someone to tell me what to do. And from the minute I stepped foot out of my bed to the minute I went back to bed, I had to have someone tell me what to do. Thank you, because I wasn't doing it right. So the tools were laid out in front of me. And the first was, don't take any more unsecured debt. And that was pretty easy, because nobody would give me a penny. So that was, at least I wasn't getting back into any further debt. And as I say, I decided a couple of years in, I bought winter boots, I bought a winter coat. I only got my hair done Easter and Christmas. Is somebody talking?
Yeah, oh, sorry, 10 minutes left.
Thank you. I needed to do that just for me. I just wanted to break the back of it. It'd been going on for so long, and I thought if I could just clear some to see the results, because I was getting results straight away. I'll come back to one of the tools and how I got results, but I needed for my sake. And my sister said she laughed at me when she saw my coat, and it wasn't very trendy, but what I did, come winter, spring, washed it, put it up. When winter came again, I just wore it again. The boots, the hair was just scraped back, but it was fine, because the bottom line is, what mattered was that I was at peace, that I was recovering, that I was learning my lesson. I really didn't need a fancy new coat to do that. I didn't need my hair, 300-pound weaves in my hair, which were my identity before BDA, before DA. I didn't need 300-pound weaves in my hair and my eyebrows done every minute. I didn't need it. It didn't matter for my mental well-being. So the abstinence was fine.
attended meeting. What was great, then one of the first meetings I went to, they needed a secretary. And I thought, oh, I can't do that. They needed a secretary. So reading the script, but it kept me coming back, along with all the trauma of having the bailiffs coming, etc. It kept me coming back. I'm grateful for my distress because I've never gone out. I've heard people that have come in, things get well, and they go back out, and then they come back twice as bad. So I've never gone out in 16, 17 years, which I'm very grateful for. Record maintenance, a hit and miss for me. I'm going on holiday in a couple of weeks, and I really got down. I keep the basic figures, make sure everything's paid. I've got a little book. They're used to me coming into the bank. I like still like the old-fashioned way, going into the bank with my little book and paying things. And a couple go by direct debit. But I can see where everything's going, doing it that way. But I really got down on it because I wanted to see if I could spend less in November for the holiday. Because anything I spent less, I could just plonk it on the holiday, which is all paid for. I won't be coming back to you in 10 years' time saying I've just paid off for that holiday I had in 2024. And it worked. It was really really soothing. It was really, it made me feel really responsible over and above the maintenance I was doing. I thought, this isn't a bad thing. You can find 5 minutes every day just to keep your records. And it just, money came in from unexpected places. I don't know if it's just coincidence, but I got a couple of hits, which I can just put on my spending money as well, which it's just been really interesting experience. So I'm going to, when I come back, I'm going to do it again and see, you know, what is it? What did I think I tapped into my conscious contact with a higher power by really respecting what God had given me to live on anonymity. And that's easy enough to do. I keep my mouth shut. Before, I was a very codependent person. I got into debt by being everything to everyone, super auntie, super sister, super daughter, everything. Now I mind my own business. I don't tell them what I do, but people ask me, what are you doing? People ask me, and I thought, that's really interesting. It shows on you when you're sober, it shows. Great to have the telephone. I have sponsors, and I have a sponsor. You know, the use of the telephone is wonderful, the use of Zoom. I've met some beautiful people through the awful time we've had over the last 3 years by using Zoom that I've been able to keep in contact with. And I was able to meet them at conferences, which, you know, I've been allowed to do service for and attend conferences, London, New York and Canada. And I'm very grateful for that. The pressure relief groups and pressure relief meetings have been wonderful for me because in my anxiety, I have a blind spot. One and one can't make two, which probably is what got me into this problem in the first place. But I remember I got some money in, 13,000 it was, and I went to, had a pressure relief around it. And she, after I dished it out and I took it to her, she found another 3,000 because my brain, I think it's a kind of an ADD thing, I think. Just in the anxiety, I can't see correctly. I can't think correctly, even when things are going well. And it was wonderful, Jane, digging out and leaving that PRG with an extra $3,000. And the money I had was more than enough for what I wanted. But finding an extra $3,000, what a gift from God. And that was
5 minutes left, Lorraine.
Acknowledged. Spending plan, I'm going to work on that. I started off with the, you know, the fancy spending plan of all that I wanted. But now for the last 10 plus years, I just stick to the basics. Am I sticking within my spending plan? What's wonderful is it's a spending plan, not a budget, so you can move money around. And it's always just work. I've just been very blessed in that the good thing is I've always been in employment. So I've not had to go through some trauma that I've had some fellows go through that I've sponsored, being out of work and things like that. And I have no kids. So I use the, I know how much I have to spend on what, as I say, I have my little book. Sponsors, I have been so grateful. I've had the same sponsor in 15 years. She's not a sponsor anymore. She's a darling, darling friend. She gave me 9 hours of her time when I relayed the wreckage of my past, my disgusting behavior, my thieving, my conniving, my messing with people's husbands, all my dirty work. I could lay bare and free myself. And, you know, what's been great from that is freeing myself with making amends. I'll say that tool as well. Is it 9? Making amends. And when God is ready, you know, the people appear and getting it off your chest. And they, you know, they always say, oh, I forgot about that, but I haven't forgotten about it. And I remember making amends to someone not so long ago, and I tell you, my head dropped, and I realized I've been holding the tension, the guilt in my neck, you know, and that can lead to illnesses. So I was truly, truly grateful to use that tool as well. Well, I attend business meetings regularly. I do service. I'm secretary of meetings. I do intergroup service. So I've got to do the business meetings, put the agenda together, hold the meeting, because we haven't got enough service. I will do a plug for that. Please, 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 if you please find time to even do one session, a few months of service for groups, intergroups, etc., etc. We need as much help as we can so that we can be here for the suffering debtor. AA literature, my favorite and my most deepest held tool I use there is AA literature, the big book. And one of the readings, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be in the moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Being sober and having recovery does not mean life is all roses and unicorns. Actually, it can get worse. Relationships are worse. So where you are codependent, where you've set boundaries, people get peed off about that. They don't like it. They don't like it in my experience. But you've got to stand your ground and go, I've got to look after Loreen first. Loreen first. And that's by doing the program. Share from my abundance, not my core. I was sharing from my core. Somebody said, you take out your ribs. You know, or you know, to keep it clean, you take out your lungs and breathe through your toe or something like that. I won't say what he exactly said, but I give everything away to get love. That's how I try to get love, and it doesn't work for me at all, because people are capable of looking after themselves, because they have their own higher power and awareness. I was standing at on the tube, and I saw an advert for American Express, and the interest rate was 79%. 79%, and the person was dancing. He had used a card to go to some festival, not used it to make money, not used it for business, not used it to save his life, used it to go to a dance and put himself in danger of paying 79% interest rates. I never saw that, and believe me, I've kept HSBC, Santander, Capital One going with the interest I've paid on the cards and the loans and the overdrafts. But now I have awareness. There is no way, Jose, that I would get myself in that. If I can't afford it, I can't have it. I can't have it. But the funny thing is, I can afford anything. It just takes some work. I have to save for it. I have to sacrifice for it. You know, can't be buying fancy things and go on a fancy holiday. Something's got to give, one or the other. But it's worked for me. I'm 17 years in. Long may continue. I will never go out of my 12-step programs. It's been a lifesaver for me. And I accept the ups and downs of recovery. As I say, it's not all fairies and unicorns, because I can accept life on life's terms now. Before, it had to be my way or the highway, and my way was manipulating, stealing, underhandedness, betrayal of people that loved and cared about me. I'd take their money. Thank you. Steal their money, and I can use the right words now. Steal their money and disappear, then tell them they shouldn't have belonged to me. I'm a decent, sober person in society, and I'm working towards getting even more a quality member of society, because that's the peace that I want to live in. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you for sharing, Loreen. Our second speaker is Domingo from Southern California, who will share his experience, strength and hope in regard to celebrating the wealth of our shared DA resources for 15 minutes. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Geraldine. Appreciate it. And I know we have a timer. So if the timer can please give me like just 5-5 and then like a 2-minute warning before the end, please.
Will do.
You may begin.
Okay, and one other, thank you. One other request would be to just speak out loud, because once I get going, I'm like a freight train. It's hard to stop me. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I love. Oh my God, this is the highlight of my. This is the highlight of my life. I was going to say the highlight of my day, but and then I said I thought of life, and then I realized that that's the truth. This is the highlight of my life. So I'll be talking about celebrating the wealth of our DA shared resources. I'm going to make this quick. I feel like I got a lot to say today. So since I know this is recorded, I'm going to talk quickly, and hopefully there's a Q&A, and if I miss something, you know, let me know. All right. So actually, didn't prepare, which is fantastic. I love not preparing because preparing is good. Sometimes it's necessary. But in most cases, when I prepare, preparation. Well, let me say this. I do a lot of preparing. However, I watch my motivation because back in the day, preparing was trying to get an outcome, you know. And as a result of this program, I get to just, you know, do the do as an end in itself, not as a means to an end. All right. So I'll tell you a little bit about me. I put together. Anyways, long story short, I didn't prepare, but I am a writer, and I just got this concept like 2 minutes before the call, and so I decided to write it down. So I'll just, you know, I'll go with it. I'll tell you a little bit about me. You know, before coming into DA, I lived a dual life. I put, you know, whatever face I felt I needed to put in front of the person that was right in front of me at the moment. I lived a life of appearances. You know, there's a great speaker. He says, and I this is what I did. He says he put a bit in his teeth and he went out to the salt mines to eke out a miserable living. And that's what I did. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, this life is like he says, was a veil of tears. That's what I was told. I'm like, you know, this is where you earn eternal reward. You know, so if it's not fun, it's not meant to be fun. This is where you suffer. This is where you make sure that, you know, that you earn and prove your value. Because when you're eventually in front of people who are going to judge you, you know, the last thing you want to hear is a lot of criticism and the fact that you didn't and that you worked hard, but, you know, not hard enough. And you missed the mark, and that's it. That's it. You're doomed. So I was under the impression that things are only good things are won through a hard fight, that only good things are worth anything if I pay more for them. You know, the harder I work for something, the better I thought I would feel in terms of what it would do for me in my life, in terms of bringing me joy, serenity, and comfort. And actually, I didn't even, to tell you the truth, I didn't even value peace, joy, serenity, comfort. I mean, if I were to tell you what my values were, I wanted recognition, I wanted validation, I wanted vindication, I wanted admiration. You know, these were all the things that I felt I could only get through others. You know, like others had the key for me. So when I came into this program, so why did I act that way? I acted that way. It's not. I'm not saying it as an excuse, but I thought, well, you know what? You know what? For me, that it's not feeling safe is sort of the environment that fostered for me these behaviors gave, you know, breath to this disease of not enough, of, you know, feeling that heaven is outside of me. You know, heaven meaning, you know, peace and joy and serenity, because I think those are heaven. And it was only until I came here, that's what makes DA unique, is that we have, it's the 12 steps. They're not much changed from any other fellowship except for a few words. But you know what? I get to sit in a room with other debtors who understand me with safe guidelines, no crosstalk, no verbal judgment, no verbal disapproval of my behavior, thoughts, and actions. You know, no tisk, no side glances, no clicks. I mean, not to say that they don't exist, that we wouldn't have a safety guideline if there wasn't that happening, unfortunately. But I'm just talking about in general, right? In general. And I have felt unsafe, but this is not about feeling unsafe at a few times. Is that 5 minutes? No. Okay. So feeling safe opened everything up for me. And, you know, being in DA, like, why wouldn't I feel safe in a OE environment talking about? Because people there
Domingo?
Might, you know, not, yes.
Domingo, sorry, now yes. It has been 5 minutes, 10 minutes left.
Thank you. Beautiful. Perfect. Appreciate it. Because they might look at me different, but here, you know, here I get to dare anyone to look at me differently. You know, I had my first PRG, and my sponsor at the time, you know, this is my first PRG, and I'm telling them what I did. I didn't pay my taxes. You know, I claimed exams. The tax debt is the first big debt that I had. And she said, why did you do that? And then I looked at her like, and I said, you mean other than being a debtor? And we all laughed. We laughed for like three minutes solid. Because of course, like there's no, you know, all I need to say is I'm a debtor. And all the crazy behavior that I felt so much shame about just, you know, falls under that umbrella. And I get to deal with it, you know, sanely through, you know, through synchronized, not synchronized, but steps that go in order, right? Okay. Being in a safe space, it provides me ability to be willing. And that's like, and now I'm going to go into a metaphor about transportation. So that's my engine. That's my engine of my recovery. The requirement for me to be in a safe space, to feel free of judgment, to feel free of being me and expressing myself and not fearing that someone will disagree or express their counter opinion or I'm semi-reading and sharing here. So that's really important for me. And then being in a safe space and having the willingness, having the engine, I get to discover the tools and resources. And these are like the roads, the traffic signals, the warning signs, and the destinations, the mile markers or milestones of my recovery, if you will. And it just matters that I get on the road, not necessarily how far and how fast I go. And that way I get to enjoy every mile rather than sit in the seat of abundance while I worry and fret my time and resources away, like I've done for most of my life. I came in this program in 2009, and prior to that, even after coming in, it took me a while to realize either heaven's all, and it's here, and always has been, and always will be, and there's no otherness, or it's nowhere. Like, it's either all or nothing. And I was talking to my wife this morning, she goes, that's kind of black and white thinking. I go, yes. Let's set aside all the, well, what about this and what about that, and let's get down to the nitty gritty. And I told her, I need that, because then I will sit in a life forever trying out all the middle grounds, you know, trying to like eke out. I can't imagine a more miserable living and trying to sort of eke out something, you know, some type of joy is something that truly won't give it to me. It's not prepared, either a person or a thing or a destination or an accomplishment or a material thing. So it sounds black and white, and I think I've heard many times that much of my recovery is not black and white. It is. Now that I think about it, it is black and white. I've been working on kind of like the road getting narrow. Is that 10 minutes? No. Okay. The road getting narrower, and I think, oh, wow, like it just makes it clearer. Like it brings what I've been searching for. It helped me realize that it's already in me. That's what that type of thinking got me. It's like it got me to stop looking for things that I wanted in places that they weren't, because that's a guarantee that I will fail each and every time. You know, how do you not get what you want? Go look for it in places that doesn't have it. So I guess it's more like a mile marker, like a pointer. It's like a compass. You know, the compass only points in one place at a time. That's what that thinking kind of is. So it's really helpful for me. And you guys have given me, you know, coming here, working, discovering the tools, the resources, helped me stay in meetings. It helped me, you know, obviously get a sponsor. Not reinvent anything. It's just, you know, get a sponsor, work the steps, learn about the traditions, or come and do service. You've given me the seeds of my life, whether it was through inspiration or a shared experience. or through sharing your truth with me and showing me, hey, you know, we can do this. Like, this is allowed. You know, you won't get ridiculed, and it's yes.
Five minutes left, Domingo.
Beautiful. Love it. Thank you. You welcomed me. You did service, and I felt taken care of. I felt thought of. I felt like for the first time that I'm worthy of something in this life. And eventually I came to understand that I'm people too. I didn't know I'm people too. I always felt so different from everyone else that I met, that I thought I was terminally unique, but not in a good way. Now I realize I am unique, and I realize, you know, but I used to think I was defective unique, like, you know. And so, of course, I tried to keep up with the Joneses. Of course, I tried to think like everybody else. Of course, I tried to be like everybody else. Of course, I tried to fit in the mold, you know. And I was a square peg trying to get in a round hole. Now I get to go, I get to show up as Domingo everywhere I go. I was talking to somebody the other day. If I'm firing somebody, I used to be a manager. I get to show up as Domingo. If I'm in court, I get to show up as Domingo. If I'm applying for a job, you know, my goal is not to get the job. My goal is to show up as Domingo and see if they're interested and to speak plainly about what is it that I could do and what I've done and what my goals are. You know, I got to tell you, there's nothing more, I don't know about anything more beautiful than being free to be myself anywhere I go. Despite some looks from, not people in program, but some people in program, I don't know, but I'm just saying people in general sometimes, you know, some surprised looks. I'm not saying judgment, but some surprised looks and maybe it's people taken aback. I'll tell you what, I just hit my 90 days. In this new job that I did, it's a new career as a result of DA. I left my 20-year-old management career and actually became an accountant and a tax preparer and also a representative of people in front of the IRS after 10 years of paying off my tax debt. And as a result of record keeping, and I don't have time to tell you the whole deal other than, you know, I went from homeless to homeowner. I was homeless several times, including right before I came into program. Lived in my car for a year and a half. What do I want to say? Why did I say all that? What was I saying? I lost my train of thought. Let's see. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay. And what I did is I did 90 days. This guy brought me in 90 days, set up an accounting system. But you know what? He's an entrepreneur. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of opportunity there. So come the 90 days, I put together a proposal. I didn't even give feedback on what they gave me the 90 days, and I was going to get a dollar raise.
2 minutes.
Thank you. I was going to get, I guess this is the last big part I'm going to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to get a dollar raise. I go, okay. I listened, and then he goes, do you have any feedback? I go, I do have some feedback. Well, but, I want to talk, it incorporates talking about an adjustment to salary. So can we talk about this privately? He told me to call him the next day overnight, this in the morning, in an hour, I put together this proposal, what my key contributions were, what future contributions I could make, what my salary request was, and what my justification was for that. All because of working with real numbers, not imaginary stuff, you know? Anyways, I asked for a $25 raise. And we talked about it, and eventually, long story short, I got a $5 raise. I also asked for benefits, and I also asked for only working 4 days, and I also asked for being able to contribute to the 401k rather than wait a year of do it immediately. And I also talked about helping the company start a tuition reimbursement program. Because eventually, my dream is $75 an hour, 24 hours a week, and getting paid to do what I do, and then also my employer paying for not only paying for my education, but also paying for me to go to school. And I left a bunch of stuff out, but I guess I told you the results of the shared resources of DA rather than what those were. I mean, I did mention in overall the tools, you guys, the fellowship, you know, the steps, all that. So hopefully I shared a part of it within the time limit, but that's what, and then my daughter called me yesterday and she said, Dad, I told her, you inspired me. She said, I wrote a letter she's a teacher, a brand new teacher. She just got her master's degree. She said, I wrote a letter to the dean asking for a raise. Can you look
That's
it
fine.
Over and thank you and give me your feedback? And I thought this is the fourth dimension here. and I love it. And I love you guys, and I love being here. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you for sharing. Our third speaker is Ruby G from California. Are you there, Ruby? Is Ruby on the call?
Yes, I am. I had to get unmuted.
Thank you very much, Ruby. Ruby will share her experience, strength, and hope in regard to celebrating the wealth of shared resources for 15 minutes. Welcome to the call. First, would you like any time warnings?
Yes. 10, 4, and 1.
Thank you. You may begin, Ruby.
Thank you so much, Geraldine. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak. I was a little nervous this morning about speaking, so nervous, in fact. I woke up at the wrong time. I woke up at 5 because I thought the meeting was going to take place at 6 a.m. California style. So I was very relieved to find out it was actually 10 a.m. I try to be very time conscious, and I learned that in these rooms. And so I had to remind myself of the first sign of a time debtor to remember to read the fine print, and I had just scanned it. So I looked over that tool, then I went back to your email, and I realized I had the wrong time when I saw the flyer. So I say that because I'm constantly reminded that using the tools of the program can save me time, energy, effort, and pain, no matter how small the task is. Well, my name is Ruby Chi, and I'm a longtime debtor. I came in the program well over 30 years ago. I think I'm coming up on 40 years in the program. I've been around a long time. And so before I came into the program, my life was a mess financially. I was in debt to everyone. I owed everyone, not just creditors, but I also owed family and friends. I didn't think very much about debting in those days because I just reasoned, hey, the country is in debt. The country is a real debtor nation. That's what we do here in the U.S. of A. We pile up debt. For me, debting was creditors. Having creditors was a sign of status. I live in Southern Cal, the home of Hollywood. And what Hollywood put on the screen, that was what I wanted. There's an area code out here in California, Southern Cal, 90120. And everybody who lives here knows that that is the area code of Beverly Hills, where all the money in the world resides. At least that's the ideology behind it, or the myth behind it. And although I did not live in that area code, I wanted all the status, all the accoutrements, all the bells and whistles that went along with that lifestyle. So what that means in real time is that I was constantly living above my means. I thought, if you want to live big, you got to spend big. And if you want to make money, you got to spend money. And that was the way I lived my life. I have blown through so much money in those early days that it was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. I gave away thousands, tens of thousands of dollars because I thought that was the way you were supposed to live. I hosted. I had lavish parties. I traveled. And I bought gifts. I was Mrs. Santa Claus. Everyone knew if they were around me, they could expect almost anything. I bought cars, homes. Yeah, it was like that for the people. But for myself, I kept nothing. Well, what I learned in program, that money comes and money goes. Brains will only take you so far, and luck always runs out. Well, finally I outsmarted myself. Now, the reason why I thought I couldn't outsmart myself, or no one else could outsmart myself, I had graduate degrees in managerial finance. I thought, who could outsmart me? But I could outsmart me, and I did. I ended up...
Ruby, 10 minutes left.
Thank you. I ended up bankrupt. I had to file for bankruptcy. My life was in shambles. I lost it all. And something that should have been expected was unexpected for me. When the money went, so did all the people. And I found myself alone. Well, that story turned around when I came to DA. In DA, I found people who were struggling with the same issues. Back then, we had people from every strata of life, from people living on the streets. I mean, actually living on the streets, not laying in somebody's couch or house sitting. I mean, on the streets. And we had people. You didn't have billionaires back then. Maybe you had one and they were lying about it, but we didn't have them here in abundance the way we have them now. But we did have a lot of wealthy people and everybody in between. My point in bringing this up is that it didn't matter what class we were or how much money our families had or didn't have. We were all debtors. And back then it was also very different because a lot of people that are not considered debtors today were in the room with debtors, such as gamblers, clutterers, shopaholics, under-earners. We were all in the same room, and we all had the same problem. We were drowning in debt. But the biggest debt we owed was to ourselves. At least that turned out to be true for me. So I had to get a sponsor. I didn't want a sponsor because I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. I didn't think anybody was smart enough to help me because I thought my postgraduate degrees in finance would save me. Oh, I could take a little hints and a few tactics, a few clues here and there, maybe a few stratagems I could put to work for me. But I really didn't need to work the steps or the traditions or the concepts. So I kind of like tried to co-pilot with my sponsors. So quite naturally in DA, I went through a whole bunch of sponsors before I found a sponsor that would not tolerate my bullshit. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't say that. My BS, correction. And when I did, my life, well, it was a 360-degree change. I mean a 360-degree change, not a 180, but a 360. And I began to work the steps. But my life did not actually change on the inside until I finished the 12th step. And I had a spiritual transformation. For me, that meant that I had to change the way I thought about myself in relationship to money. The tradition that I put to work for me to help make that transformation a reality with tradition 7. I finally came to understand that tradition 7 is not just about money. It is about being fully self-supporting in every aspect of my life, whether it was materially / financially, whether it was emotional, whether it was mental, psychological, or whether it was spiritual. I had to become fully self-supporting in all of those areas. And that was when my transformation fully actualized itself. So that meant I had to put some tools to work for myself. One of the first tools that I put in practice for myself is that I tore up my credit cards. Oh, by the way, I forgot this. Back in the old days, there was no such thing as unsecured debt and unsecured debt. All debt was debt. So that meant that if I didn't have the money to purchase something, I didn't get it. It was as simple as that. So I started small. The first rule of thumb my sponsor helped me develop was to learn to pay myself first, to prevent resentment, anger, pity, sitting on the pity pot crying about what I didn't have. And I had to fire my God. Yeah, that's the decision I made. And I had to ask myself, how does my relationship with my HP, how does it serve me? I learned the principle of every penny in and every penny out, which means I religiously recorded my numbers and tallied them up at the end of the day. I resented it at first because I felt like, why did I do all this? But my sponsor again stepped in and said, you didn't get where you were overnight. It took time. You built your way into this trap. You dug your own hole. So,
Ruby, 4 minutes left.
Thank you so much for your service. In order to get out of this trap, you've got to slowly build your way up. I didn't like that, but so far my life was going so well. And what I mean by going well was, for the first time, I knew my purpose in life. Because my sponsor once again asked me, she said, how do you see yourself as a covered debtor? Nobody had ever asked me how I saw myself in anything, regardless of what it was. So I had to develop a vision for myself. Like, where did I want to be after I recovered? How did I want to be after I recovered? So I developed plans for that. PRGs helped me devise my plan. I created a time plan. I created a spending plan with their help and the help of my HP. I did possession consciousness. I took inventories in my life. How did the things in my life serve me? And it worked not only with material possessions, but with the people that were in my life. I had a lot of sick relationships that I had to let go and let God. There were people that I had to learn to love from a distance because they were toxic. But like I said, I was heavily influenced by the media. I thought you had to have a gaggle of friends around you in order to feel loved. But I found that the first person I had to learn to love was me. Because when I learned to be my own best friend, I was healthy enough to be the best friend of someone else. It took me a long time to do this, guys. It wasn't an overnight thing. Like I said, I'm coming up on 40 years, I think, in the program. And it took me about 4 years to get to a point where I was willing to love and care for myself. And I want to say this. The steps taught me how to love myself. It ain't that hard. All it required for me to do was to practice the three A's. I had to learn all I could about debting. And I had to be willing to accept the reality of being a debtor. That was very hard for me to do, because being a debtor has a lot of negative and dirty connotations here in America. In America,
1 minute.
Thank you. In America, debtors are cheats. They're crooks. They're liars. They're the scum of the earth. So I was very hesitant to admit that I was a debtor. So I kept my mouth closed. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing or where I was going, and that's a good thing. But I told people in the program. I let myself be known. And then I accept my faults, my failures, and I learned from them. So as I made these plans, I just put them into action, the three A's. I put the action of being a saver as opposed to a debtor. What is a saver? I would pay myself first. And what does it mean to pay myself? It meant that I learned to have fun. I found that I was a very serious debtor. I didn't know how to be loosey-goosey, so to speak. I didn't know how to accept failures and say, okay, I can chalk that up as a lesson learned. So like I said, it was a very slow process. But I want to say
that's
this
time.
Let me just say this one last thing. My life today is a walking miracle. All my needs are met. All my wants are satisfied. And all the promises in the back of Currency of Hope have come true. Thank you for allowing me to be of service and to speak to you all today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you to all our speakers today. We will now end the recording for our personal sharing period.